Yes, it's a high-risk game he's playing. I mean, risky in a couple of ways. The first is that if, and it's a big if he does want to undermine Netanyahu in some way, and there is a view that maybe some in the administration would quite prefer to deal with a different Israeli leader altogether, that you could have the reverse effect and public opinion might rally around a besieged Israeli prime minister. I think that's unlikely, mainly because the one thing that is held most dear by Israeli public opinion is the relationship with the United States. And most Israelis in the past have been ready to throw leaders overboard if they get on the wrong side of an American president. It's that important. But there is a second danger, which is, as you've indicated, at home. And there is a very, very vocal pro-Israel lobby who don't like an American president roughing up an Israeli prime minister, again, in public. One thing to do it in private. Don't like it in public. Now, so far, those criticisms have come from the right of the pro-Israel lobby. AIPAC is a bipartisan group. AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the biggest pro-Israel lobby. There are Democrats and Republicans in there. And so far, it is mainly Republicans, not exclusively, who've been attacking Obama for daring to take on and slam Israel so forthrightly. If more Democrats, people from Obama's own party, peel off and begin to criticize him, I think that is a pressure. And so he's playing a high-stakes game. I think he's hoping he's going to repeat what Bill Clinton did in 1996, when he too got into a standoff with the then prime minister, one Bibi Netanyahu, the same guy, and American Jewish opinion and American pro-Israel opinion, and they're not the same thing, sided actually with Clinton against Netanyahu for all kinds of reasons then. I think Obama is hoping that a similar dynamic may happen this time, mainly because the offense, if you like, of Israel was so egregious in this case. I mean, even people who are quite in favor of settlements do agree that it's inept and just rude, really, to do that when you are being visited by a representative of an administration which, yes, is your ally, but has told you we don't want any more of these settlements. So the crudeness of the insult, I think, has made Obama think he's on strong ground here. People will agree with him in carpeting and scolding Israel, and he's going to try and ride this moment to get some advantage and some progress in what is, after all, what this whole thing is about, the peace process with the Palestinians, and he's trying to seize the moment.
And what kind of tools will Obama deploy now to get the Israelis to engage in substantive talks with the Palestinians?
Well, we have a clue in the phone call, very unusual phone call to his home on Friday night that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, made to Netanyahu. Apparently was caught by surprise, picked up the phone, and there was Hillary on the end of it. 43-minute long phone call. She made three demands. She said, I want the cancellation of the housing expansion you've announced. I want some kind of gesture, confidence-building measure to the Palestinians. That probably would be in the form of releasing Palestinian prisoners. And third, I want these peace talks, which before were frankly going to be quite procedural, to now be about substance and to be about the core issues, you know, the difficult issues, borders, refugees, status of Jerusalem itself. Those are the tools that the Americans have decided to put pressure on in those three areas and to get some kind of concession. There's risks associated with all of those because the first demand in particular may just simply be impossible for Netanyahu if he's going to keep his coalition together. And so then you're back into that other question of whether you do want to drive him out of power. The last time this was done successfully was nearly 20 years ago with George Bush's father, the first George Bush, and his Secretary of State, James Baker. They did put pressure on Israel. They did, in the end, actually get the sitting prime minister out. Yitzhak Shamir then lost power and was replaced. But their tool was very effective. It was loan guarantees, underwriting $10 billion worth of guaranteed loans to Israel. And it was that they threatened to withhold if settlement building carried on. That was a very clever tool because it was financial rather than really getting to Israel's core. And I think if Obama can think of something like that, that will be very effective. But at the moment, he's got these three demands. And just the sight of America being so strong and demanding of Israel is itself so powerful and is sending a big message around the region where people are not used to seeing America talk this way to its most dependable, usually, ally.